Vintage vocal performance. They're the wonderful Walker Brothers, and of course, the quirk of fate is that not when they not brothers, they actually none of them were called Walker. If anybody knew that, there was Scott Engel, Gary Leeds, and if they, I think it's John Mouse, M-A-U-S, but there's certainly three of them there, and none of them were the brothers Walker. But what great sounds they had! Now, with a bit of luck, we hope to have one of our callers on the line here for tonight. Simon Dupree and the Big Sounder with us, and a company of other people. We'll get into those bit by bit, but hopefully, are you there, Bob?
Indeed.
Right, Bob, now you're right through to Simon Dupree and the Big Sound. What do you want to talk to him about? Phil Shulman and Tony are both here.
Hiya.
Hi.
Fire away.
Hey, lads, all right?
Yeah, thanks.
Average, yeah.
Nice to hear that you made it through the big time. Wasn't easy in those days, was it?
No, true.
Indeed. No, certainly.
I'm just about here, yeah.
Can you just about, what? Oh.
Just about hear us. Hang on a second. Yeah, hang on a sec. Let's see what we can do. Yeah. There we go. Hang on a second.
Okay.
Okay, can you pose a question to him then, Bob?
Yeah, like you say, in those days, it was very, very hard to make it to the top sort of thing. And I've just got dug out my first 45, which is Daytime, Nighttime.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Dupree and the Big Sound.
Yeah. It's a very local number, that was, because it was written by a guy called Mike Huck, who Tony, in fact, probably knew better than
that's
I
correct,
did.
Yeah,
went on to work in Manfred Mann, yeah?
That's correct.
We had jazz band at the beginning.
Yes.
Modern jazz, and then he went on to, as you know,
become
famous.
And of course, also, he was a gospel lad.
Yeah, he was.
Well, he was Manfred Mann's drummer during all the big. But,
And Bob, were you the guy that was in the photograph?
That's correct.
Oh, Bob was in the photograph in the news. You know, there was a picture there in Gosport.
Yeah, a picture of Simon Dupree, and obviously, and the band on the stage.
Yeah, he says he was one of the dancers. Let's have
one
a quick
of the
look.
Dancers,
right in the front, are you?
Yeah. Days. We had hair.
Let's have a look.
Phil's got the paper now. He's having
just
a good
got
look.
The paper to be put in front of me. Let me have a look.
It's that guy.
Oh, good gracious, yeah. Yeah. You're in the photograph, are you?
I'm in the photograph.
Well, you're definitely better looking than me. So that's
yeah,
good.
And me.
Yeah, brilliant. I mean, to me, Chad, they've still got the record. It's unbelievable, really, because I'm 40 years old. So.
Yeah. Oh, I know that, mate.
Amazing, isn't it?
I see that was at Thorngate.
At Thorngate Hall, that's
so you're
correct.
A gospel lad, are you?
Sorry?
Are you a gospel lad?
I am indeed.
Yeah, good for you. Apparently, there was due to be pulled down, you know, and somebody's just a roofer, a local roofer.
That's correct.
Has done some work on it to keep it going, yeah.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, it's a fantastic venue, run by a geezer called Vic Brown. I don't know if you remember him at all.
Only just about, yeah.
Yeah, he was the sort of like comp here, come organiser, come gig giver, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we played with some quite interesting bands, actually, as... when we were obviously just starting, and we played with I remember doing what was that guy Keith Ralph and his sister
Yardbirds,
Jeff Beck, people like that, Eric Clapton was playing. Yeah,
but in those days, the music that you produced and everybody else in that era, I mean, everybody can understand. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, yeah. I think it was sort of almost catching the fact that a band enjoyed doing it.
That's
more
correct.
Than anything else, and I think that transmitted to the audiences. Usually, we enjoyed ourselves a great deal on stage.
Yeah,
well,
absolutely.
Bob, look, thanks very much for the call.
No problem.
Really appreciated. The calls are piling up here, so we're going to keep taking them.
Okay.
Thanks very much for listening.
All
get it online. I hope you enjoy it, and give my best to Pauline down there.
Thanks so much. All the best.
It's a pleasure. Thanks very much indeed.
All
the very best.
Bye.
Cheers.
Just
going to put you onto the desk. Hello. Hello. Hello, we're going to try and see if we can... hello? Hello? Oh, we thought we had another caller coming in. We'll have to try and handle that then. No? Okay, let's see. We're trying to get calls from all over the place here, so we'll see what we can do. Okay, all right. We'll go with unknown. So I'm going to play another track for you in just a moment. As I said, the calls with this real car crash radio here. Tell us a bit about venues. People talk about Indigo Vat. Tell us what you remember about that. Was that one of the first places you played?
No, not one of the first. I mean, when we really started out, we did what every young band does. I mean, I was a lot older than everybody else, but my brothers were still at school. And it was youth club stuff. Mm. And just about every secondary school had a youth club. Mm. So as I was a teacher at that particular time, and I knew most of the guys who were running the youth clubs.
Sure.
So that was our first gigs. And then we did eventually get supporting a venue at the Oddfellows Hall.
Oh, right, yeah.
And that had all the fairly big bands and really good bands, you know, and Ernie Sears, a bloke called Ernie Sears from Gosport, ran that club, which was quite something. other venues, early venues. Well,
yeah. So, any others that played Rendezvous?
We lived opposite the Birdcage, so that was obviously a natural for us.
Yes.
I mean, we literally was like about 25 yards, and we were in there with the gear, you know.
Sure.
Kimball's, South Parade Pier. Mm. These were main dance halls. As for clubs, though, we did quite a few gigs outside of the city as well. Actually, we had eventually got what you call a real manager in a guy called John Bedford. Do you remember him?
Oh, John Bedford, yeah.
And he ran his own place at the waterfront in Woolston, Southampton. And we played gigs there quite regularly. We played quite a lot, in fact, various little venues there.
Mm.
And eventually, also we.
Are you there, sir? Okay, one moment.
Yeah. Well, if there's a caller, Jeff, take him.
There could possibly be a caller here. Yeah. I'm actually going to not introduce this person at all,
no.
But I'm just going to throw him the fader, and before I play I See the Light, I have a feeling this guy might be involved in it. Would you like to speak to him?
Okay.
Would you like to speak, caller?
Would I like to speak to my big brother? I'm not sure if I want to or not.
How did they get hold of you?
I've no idea. How did they get hold of you?
For Christ's sake, Derek, I'm round the corner here. I'm assuming you're in New York.
Yes, he is.
Hiding in a cupboard anyway in here, are you?
I'm actually at your house, Bill.
You'd be amazed.
Derek, just tell him who's here.
Who's here? Sitting next to me is Tony.
Hi, Derek.
Tony
Ransley.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Hold on. Terry. You know, our brother.
Oh, yeah, Terry. Yeah.
My son Damon is taking pictures of it all. Around the corner is Frank Covey, right?
Frank Covey!
Phil Freeman has just come back from Russia. He's just done an Amy Winehouse gig.
Yes.
And, my missus is obviously sitting here because Bobby, you know, she's got to look after me. She's ready with the pills and stuff, you know.
God, yeah, this is like 40 years ago or beyond, I think.
It is 40 years ago and beyond. Yeah, I See the Light. That was one of our...
Well, that's what I'm going to play. Yeah. I mean, I've got two choices. I can play your version or the Five Americans. But bearing in mind, Derek's in America. I wonder if I should be playing the Five Americans. Which was the better version, Derek, or is it that bad? Yeah. How dare me, yes.
Be careful here, Derek.
God, there was Icy Light was our quintessential last song in the set, wasn't it, Phil?
That was the last song in the set, and it was also the one I think it got as a contract with the EMI, if you want my opinion.
Yeah.
Definitely.
How long have you been doing what you're doing on this show here?
The radio show, you mean?
35 minutes.
It feels like that anyway. In fairness, it's been fun. I just can't believe who's here, that's all.
Well,
Bobby and I turned
up
thinking we were the only two twats. Excuse my language.
That got us right off the air. I knew it'd be the lawyers in, but I thought it was going to be when Phil Freeman spoke.
It's nothing compared to what I can say.
Really?
Yeah, believe me. We thought we'd be the only two nerks who'd turn up. You know, even then we couldn't find the blokes, could we, love?
Really?
And then we turned up and the place is bloody packed.
Are there a lot of people there in the studio?
Yeah, sure. Tell him what the decorations are like for a start.
I'll tell you what. If you're a sort of a real paraphernalia collector, I don't know where these guys have got this stuff from. It's everything and everybody, you know? Way back when we were actually on there on some of the posters as the Roadrunners, would you believe?
Almighty.
Yeah. There it is, just behind Tony's head on them. Look. Herbie Goins and the Nighttimers, supported by the Roadrunners. That was their Odd Fellows Hall. Remember Ernie Sears?
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Where did you get that from?
Eh? I don't know.
I'll tell you what, I know a man who does, Derek. You should have a webcam for all of this, because somebody's going to speak to you now in terms of what we're doing, and he's going to ask you a question.
Oh,
Derek,
really hard?
Freeman of the road crew here. because I'm a Pinters in Hoarder, and this show is coming up, I've got a question, and maybe between you and Phil, you can answer me. It will go back to 1967 in one of my NME papers.
Nothing to do with money, is it, Phil?
No.
He owed it to you.
No, you don't owe me. You don't owe me that much.
It was Phil.
I'm asking is
it wasn't me. It was Phil.
Do you know what ever happened to the Simon Dupree the musical?
The musical.
Oh yeah, that was one of John King's things, wasn't it?
John King came up with all sort of
sod all right.
How about the snake, Phil?
He's dead now. It died with him.
Of course, he died with him. Yeah.
Hey, Phil.
How is the hottest thing on the streets of New York, Derek? It's good to know these guys are getting interested in what went on in the past. I think it's just wicked.
I just remember driving to a gig and the door flying off and the actual gear lever. flying off too, and us and you, Phil, driving with the smallest
piece
of gear lever in the world in the Bedford dormobile.
Wow,
yeah.
Bedford.
Yeah, I remember that door flying off, and on the door was your mate called, remember Daryl from your old school?
Oh, God almighty.
Yeah, it was like a snowboarding. It was snowboarded about 100 metres down the road on this door. A good little sight.
I'll tell you what, Derek, just while you're on the line here, isn't it the magic of technology? My producer's just shown me here. I've got an email sitting in front of me from a guy who's listening online. I don't know who he is, but he's in New Hampshire in USA. Tom Benson, great to have you online. He's got a question for you both. What bands, if any, do you think carried on the new ground that was broken by Gentle Giant? And this guy's in America, so you guys are really universal. What about that, Derek?
What bands? You know what? These days, it's very difficult to answer that question, to be honest with you.
But say through the 70s, you know, who sort of did that prog rock thing that that followed on the groundbreaking stuff you guys did?
Let me stop you there, Jeff. You called it prog rock. We didn't.
Yeah, we just did. we kind of just did what we wanted.
Didn't invent the word.
No, we actually called it music. And it was a joke even then.
The prog rock was always kind of a... made our toes curl anyway, but I guess there's a couple of bands that that are out there that are starting to make some moves here. There's a band called Mars Volta, who have gotten some good headway.
You got shares in them, Derek?
I'd like to. I'd actually like to sign them, but they do very well.
I'm surprised, Derek. You haven't.
Yeah. Bobby's nodding here. She's sure you've got shares in it.
What do you think of the raconteurs, then?
They're pretty good.
It's
the White Stripes guy.
Yes, yeah, Jack White. Yeah.
Good guitar player.
Yeah, not bad.
My grandson, Elliot and Rowan, Damon's kid, they're absolutely crazy on that particular band.
Yeah, he's got a good blues influence, that's why. Yeah. He's fairly good. But we did too, in our band. I was actually looking, Phil, at some old video, and I thought, I'd sign us.
Hey? You'd sign us, would you? You're bloody nuts then, aren't you? I wouldn't.
The sax player was. I'm not sure about the sax player.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
But no, it's fantastic. All the old crew is there, right?
It's unbelievable.
I just got a few.
Bobby and I were absolutely slaughtered by this. This guy is one of the great setters up at this, Jeff Dawes, at work. Yeah.
Well, we're working at it there.
Are you reminiscing about the old days or talking about new days?
I'll tell you, we just started, before you came on the line, Derek, we started to talk about the Indigo Vat, the Odd Fellows.
God almighty.
I know, but we get there. I mean, you've got to remember, the boys down at the Cellars in Eastney are listening to this. There's a crowd down there, a packed crowd. We'll be talking to them later, but they're all down there. Steve Harding, Steve Pitt, who manages the Cellars down in Eastney. Great place to be at. And they've got it live down there, and they're going to get people phoning in as well. We've got all sorts of people. Damon's here as well.
Oh, great.
Yeah, yeah. He's really? Thank you. Yeah, he was just saying we need two more songs. Right. Anybody else that wants to come and have a quick word? We're getting on here, but certainly we're having a great time, and we're trying to sort of look at all the different places there. I've got another email in front of me here from a guy who says to me, I remember tales of Led Zeppelin and The Who playing at Kimball's. One told me by a guy who insisted that Sid Barrett played the Birdcage. Whether that's true or not, it was near Bransbury Park anyway.
I think he was in the Birdcage, actually.
Was it? Yeah, that's right. And each of them was on a snooker table. It says down here, don't forget one of the most influential venues of the 70s, South Parade Pier. But it got burned down during the filming of the film Tommy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that right, guys?
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah,
I tell you, these guys running in the pier.
Were they?
Yeah, Derek and Gary were on the end of the pier.
Really?
And they got told to get off the piers on Friday.
That's true.
Yeah. He says, I remember seeing the Kinks and the Sparks before anyone had heard of them. Oh, and a rock and roll memory. Do tell the boys, do they ever remember the Mixtures played the Push Bike song at Nero's nightclub? Rock and roll. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Phil has got a fantastic memory of all those little nuances. I don't. I just remember.
Listen,
the sort of the low points on the high points.
I'll give you a bill. Shall we? You want to hear a bill?
Go on then.
Right,
give me a bill.
Okay. Vera Lynn, right?
Right.
Bud Flanagan.
Right.
You heard of Bud Flanagan?
Of course,
I've heard of
Bud Flanagan. Yeah, crazy guy.
Yeah.
You got him.
Yeah.
Bud Flanagan. Bob Monkhouse.
Right. Yeah.
What was it? Joan Regan.
Yeah. Right.
What a singer.
Yeah.
Was she?
This is a bill.
this, hang on, is there any music on this, Bill?
Jimmy Wheeler.
Jimmy Wheeler played a violin.
Violin, yeah. And he used to say, you know...
My great-uncle, by the way, Jimmy Wheeler.
He said, I'm nearer than you.
How about that? Jimmy Wheeler's my great-uncle.
He cried on my missus's shoulder. He just lost his missus. And he was getting himself absolutely skimmish, you know, on a bottle of scotch.
Yeah, but three bottles of scotch.
He got through three, yeah.
And he went through the programme without a hitch.
And my poor missus's behind was black and blue. And you know why it was?
I dread to think, because spanking hadn't really come in those days.
You've heard of the gang show, have you? The Boy Scouts?
Yes, of course, yeah.
All of them. Up and down the stairs, nipping her. She was loving it.
Was she really?
No, that was the bill to be on. Everybody and anybody. It was the closing of the Golders Green Hippodrome.
Golders Green, that's right. Yeah.
And we were sort of like representing the pop world.
Oh, right.
Along with a band. Let me think, what do they call it? Status.
Really?
Status something, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Status something, status quo. Yeah. They never get any older. Have you noticed that? They're still in their 50s.
Oh, they tell us
that,
and
this
is
very early, middle 60s, yeah.
So we're all getting younger, Phil.
That's right.
We're all getting younger, for God's
sake. I'm not, mate. I can assure you.
Yeah. Christ, before you came on the air, Derek, unless you were listening online there, we played the Walker Brothers.
Oh, really? Okay.
Because Phil wouldn't believe me, but I've actually got a message in front of me from Gary this morning, who said he couldn't be on the line tonight. He had another engagement he was at, but he remembers you guys at the ABC in Blackpool with 2,000 people. Phil's just saying, and nobody actually had to play that night because the screaming women just went right over the top for in fact, he says for himself rather than Scott Engel, but...
It's for me.
It's for you.
It's for me.
Yeah. We know
by
that.
By the way,
yeah.
I'm sure that's Gary Smith that's going to not Gary Walker.
Yeah, no, Gary leads, because that was wonderful, yeah. So we've got to play a few of those and a few other tracks that we're going to fit in along the way, and some that you selected. He's selected, by the way, a few tracks for you as Derek. Yeah. He has, yeah. Yeah, he's picked
what time
up.
Is it, by the way, there? In the afternoon?
In New York, it's 3:43.
In the afternoon.
Must be nearly cocktail time, isn't it, over Derek?
Yeah. Well, Derek,
nearly cocktail. I've already had four or five already.
Shake and not stirred, hey? Shake and not stirred. Well, I'll tell you what, Derek, look, a message for the boys. They're all in here, one by one. They're catching them there. So a message before we sign off and play I See the Light.
Tell everyone that I miss them and come over to New York sometime. And we'll make them very, very welcome. And hey, I just spoke to Phil last week. We caught up with some stuff already.
Yeah, but nice to keep the secret, though.
But don't play "I See the Light" by Five Americans. The best version is you know who.
Definitely. Right. Okay. Well, you introduce it, Derek, and then I'll do this.
Okay.
Give me that.
Okay. Well, you're going to hear "I See the Light," the first single by Simon Dufresne and the Big Sound, on Express FM.
Right, Derek Shulman, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure. All
right, super, thanks for calling.
Bye-bye, guys.
See you, Derek.
Bye, Derek.
You try to fool me.
we're getting it all bit by bit here. We're trying to fit them all in. We're having a good time here, guys. Now, I'll tell you what, we've got some more messages for you, lads, for all of them here. Yeah. Right, you're never going to believe some of these. Yeah. Right, first of all, hi, this is Frank Allen of the Searchers.
Oh, yeah.
Searchers, yeah. I'm in Portugal at the moment, but I remember the Tricorn Centre. Oh, yes. I remember Pete Cross. Yeah. I remember everything going on down at the Birdcage. And give my best to all the lads. I would like to have called them, but on behalf of Frank Allen and John McNally of the Searchers.
Yeah, well, that's very pleasant indeed. That's a nice message. My last memories of the Searchers, we did a gig, I think it was... I think it was in Germany, and it was a television thing called... what was the television show that I used to do on the German television show we used to go
Beat
on?
Club
Beat Club.
Beat Club.
Yes. You got it. Yeah. And the Searchers were on it at the same time.
Yeah.
And the most salient memory is getting onto the plane out of our taxi, just followed closely by theirs.
Yes.
And they left a deposit in the back seat of the German taxi. They'd been drinking after the show all night.
Yes.
And a couple of the guys actually vomited, not out of the taxi, but into it.
Oh,
and
that
was a pleasant... pleasant.
I must remember to tell her that, yeah.
A pleasant bit of Searchers stuff. But no, they were quite amusing guys as well.
Well, they were. And I was with them on Friday night. They were playing at the Regent Centre in Christchurch. Absolutely packed out.
Really?
John McNally, of course, plays that wonderful 12-string guitar, which, in fact, Roger McGuinn of the Byrds stole for Mr. Tambourine Man, because if you listen earlier to Needles and Pins and when you walk in the room, that 12-string guitar was played.
Is he the only original guy, is it or not?
No, there's two. John McNally and Frank Allen. Frank Allen actually joined from Cliff Bennett, the Rebel Rousers. And they actually stole Needles and Pins off Cliff Bennett. He used to do it regularly at the Star Club in Hamburg.
We remember him. We used to do the same sort of venues along the River Trent, the boat clubs.
Yeah, that's
remember
true.
The boat clubs along the Trent?
Yeah, they were great.
And I remember there was three clubs. Mm-hmm. Literally side by side, and they were actually boat clubs. We played one particular venue. Cliff Bennett was in the middle one, and I think another name band was elsewhere, all in the same evening, and all habituated by the university students mainly, Nottingham University. Sure. But I like Cliff Bennett's band. It was always...
to get you into my life. It was just
very
fantastic.
Hit band indeed. He had some good players.
And a good singer.
Yeah, he was a good singer, yeah. Certainly.
Right, talking about other messages here, I'm going to play a quick bit of somebody else. Music, if I can hear.
How dare you?
To Simon Dupree and the Big Sound. This is Dave D, Dozy, Beaky, Mick and Titch, right? Titch Amy has been on the line.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm in Germany tonight, right? But would you send message to all the boys? Great fun. They are actually back at the Cellars in Eastney, 15th of November. So we're going to be featuring them.
Dave D?
Dave D, Dozy, Beaky, Mick and Titch. Yep, it's true.
All original?
The only one that's different is Beaky.
Oh,
yeah, the original Beaky passed away, Mick and Titch, they live in Salisbury, which is close to where
place.
I am there, and very, very successful. They're in Germany tonight. Fondly remember Portsmouth, they say.
Yeah.
We were never as big as these guys, your Simon Dupree fellas, but we tried our best.
Rotten buggers.
But I'll tell you what, just to make them feel a little bit at home, in case Mick, who's at home tonight, and said he'd try and listen on the internet, that's John Hatchman, but he plays the part of Mick. And this is for you guys. Absolutely terrific there. We have played you Dave D, Dozy, Beaky, Mick and Titch from 1966. That is Bend It. And the message came in there from Mick and Titch. All the very best to you guys. Okay. Now, I'll tell you what we're going to do now. We'll get back on to the venues and everything around here. But Damon selected a track for you. Right, okay. And I've got to say that although this is something we wouldn't normally play on the Soft Rock Show because we go for eclectic right across the board, this has got to be one of the great female vocal performances of all time. And it's a scene stopper here. I'm going to play this. It's from 1957. It's Peggy Lee and the Folks Who Live on the Hill. And I defy anybody who doesn't like this record. So this is